Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III. The title of his message is Job's Testimony, God Can Do Anything. The text is from the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 2.
Open your Bibles, please, to Job 42. Before we turn to that passage, I want to read you something. You know, probably this week, sometime, some of you will have second thoughts. You will be saying to yourself, maybe to your parents, you know, I don't think I need all this hard stuff for life. I think maybe I could get along really well in life without... I can tell this is going to be really hard now. I've had the first few days of classes and all these projects and assignments are ahead of me. And, you know, Mama, I didn't like your cooking very much before, but I really like your cooking now. And I promise never to complain if you'll let me come home. And I promise I'll make up my bed and clean up my room. And I promise I'll be in at curfew every... And I, you know, trying to sell yourself on doing wrong is what you're trying to do. Trying to sell yourself and that your laziness really isn't laziness. And all of a sudden, your youth group needs you horribly. Never mind that you were very unfaithful before and everything else. But oh man, all of a sudden, I got a lot of great things, Lord, I can do for you if I go home. And the truth is, you ain't got no grit. That's the truth. The truth is, you don't have any commitment to the will of God. The truth is, you're just a lazy, no-good rascal, and you're trying to sell yourself with pious excuses on doing wrong. We all do that. You know, most of us don't do wrong just deliberately, annoyingly, and willfully. We do wrong because we think there's some kind of a chance to do right by doing wrong. But how often we were reminded here by the founders, never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. But we still try to do it, don't we? So it's going to get a little bit hard. You're going to be wondering, you know, is this really something I want to do? And, you know, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I really didn't understand the will of God right about all this. And all these crazy things will be going through the minds of some of you. Maybe I'm going to be a housewife and I just don't need a college education to be a housewife. Well, I want to read to you a letter along that line from Heather Endress. She wrote back in March and I've saved her letter till now. She said, Bob Jones University had a special place in my heart for 10 years, has had a special place for 10 years now. The summer of 91, I attended a home economics camp at the university. After the week was over, I knew that someday, somehow, I would be a student at BJU. What a wonderful haven from the world with kind, genuine people where Christ was magnified in all that was done. I almost didn't want to go home. After spending my freshman year at the University of Notre Dame, my parents allowed me to transfer to BJU. We received a lot of criticism from family members and even from other Christians, all of whom had never set foot on the campus, but I just knew BJU was where I was to go. After having experienced the other kind of university life, I felt it such an honor to go to BJU. I was challenged mentally and spiritually and grew to love my professors and to appreciate their dedication to the students and to the Lord. Today, with my six-year graduation anniversary coming up, that was last spring, I'm a stay-at-home wife and mother of a 13-month-old boy. My husband and I are active in a small independent Baptist church in Charleston. Some people ask me if my education was a waste of money since I am not in a paying career. I always say no, for there was far more to my education at BJU than the English and science and speech courses. There was also Christlikeness, integrity, moral discipline, music standards, and a life of service taught. Can there be a price tag put on such things? I thought that was a very sweet and apt and understanding letter from a mother who's experienced what you are beginning to experience, you freshmen. And now looking back, she says, absolutely necessary for me to be the kind of Christian wife and mother that God has called me to be. Changing gears here just real quickly, we say the creed every day. In fact, you'll be given, I think, next week in your Bible classes a test on the creed. I had a letter from a 1997 graduate, Michael Foster, And I want to just share with you something about the creed. He said that he had been in India on a trip, a missions trip. Lord bless, people were saved. As he was on his way back home, he said, "We passed through the city of Bombay to catch a flight to Frankfurt, Germany. As we traveled by bus across the town from the domestic to the international airport, I found myself seated next to an Indian gentleman who just happened to be traveling to the United States, to the city of Troy, Michigan. After a brief introduction and some small talk, I asked him about his spiritual condition. After some discussion of his beliefs, he asked me to explain my beliefs as a Baptist. Despite the fact I had been raised in a Baptist church, graduated from a Christian high school, had gone to a fundamentalist university, I didn't know exactly how to answer the gentleman in the most accurate and simple way. After a brief moment of trying to organize the thoughts in my mind, I suddenly remembered the best explanation I could think of regarding my beliefs. I turned to the gentleman and responded to his question by saying, 'I believe in the inspiration of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments.' And he recited the creed. He said, after each phrase, I explained it by using appropriate examples and verses. The Lord gave me knowledge and wisdom as I spoke to the man. I was able to give a clear, precise explanation of the gospel in the brief 15-minute drive across the city of Bombay. In conclusion, he said, I praise the Lord for the opportunities He's given me to serve Him, and I'm very thankful for the education I received. I can truthfully say I don't know any part of my life that has trained me and helped me more than the education I received while a student at BJU. I just want to share these with you here at the outset because I want you to be assured it's not in vain. In unexpected places and ways and times, God is going to bring things about your education back to your memory so you can use them. It might not be the things you thought that you would ever use, as in the case of the creed. Might be some incidental things that just are a routine part of your life here, and you may say, you know, that's not in the classroom, so I didn't pay for that, and therefore it's not really part of my education. Yes, all part of your education: dormitory, societies, ball games, social parlor, work loan program, whatever it may be. It's all part of the package that God has brought you here so that you can get your life ready to be whatever He wants it to be. In Job 42:2, and our time is almost gone, at the conclusion of all of his testing, all of his sorrows, the loss of his children, the loss of all of his possessions, the loss of his health, the misery, maybe the greatest of all misery he suffered from his miserable friends who so abused him and misunderstood him. When God brought him out on the other side, he tried him and found that he was gold. Came forth shining as gold. Job said of God in Job 42:2, I know that thou canst do anything. What a powerful expression of faith. Learned, by the way, in the furnace of affliction. Learned in the crucible of testing. This was not some glib little something he'd picked up in a casual conversation with a believer, or just sitting in a Sunday school class, or in a Bible classroom at BJU, or wherever. It wasn't something learned by teaching, that is, by precept, but by the teaching of experience. Some things you and I can't learn unless God puts us under the pressure of hardship and testing. You can't really learn what you're made of here at the university, whether you have any grit in you, whether you have any perseverance in you, whether you have any love of God in you, until you get to the place where you just think you can't stand it anymore and you tie a knot on the rope and you hang on just because you know God is able to bring you out on the other side. You just don't let go and you don't quit. You don't know what you're made of until you're forced to face it. Until you lose a loved one, you don't know whether you can really trust God's grace to sustain you and hold you up like a life preserver when you're sinking in the depths of sorrow. You don't know till you've been there. Till you've lost a child. You and your wife don't know. You and your husband don't know whether God really is good or not. Now, we know He's good when everything's going our way. But what about when He takes away? Is He still good? These words of Job have huge authority. I know that thou canst do everything. And when a man has been through what Job has been through says that, you know that God is real to him. By the way, when you consider that Job said that, the authority connected with it, think about the fact that Job said down there a couple of verses later, I think it's verse 4, I don't have it open there right now, but he said, I've heard of thee by word, but now I've seen thee with my eye. Now remember when Satan first wanted to test Job, God said, there's no man, I have no man in all the earth like him. And Job said, well, that's just because he has great possessions and you've blessed him with all kind of material things. But if I take those away from him, he'll curse you. God said, try him. Prove him. You'll see. Now remember that by Job's own confession here in Job 42, up until the testing came, he loved God because of the word that he'd heard about God. We have the Bible to tell us of God. We love God because what He has revealed of Himself in His Word. How can we not love a God who's loved us so much? But when you are forced by the testing to see that God is true to His Word and that He is the God of the Word, the God that He has presented Himself to be in the Word, then you can say, now I believe Him. Because I've seen Him with my eye. I've felt the heartbeat of God. I've seen the reality of God. It's not just something my parents taught me about God, or my Sunday school teacher, or my camp director, or my pastor, or my Bible teacher, or my some other teacher at BJU, or in my Christian school before coming here. Now I know God. I've proved Him through His Word, and He's true. And I love Him all the more. He is the all-sufficient God. You know, you're going to be called on this year, many of you, to prove God. God says, prove me. You're going to prove Him faithful in supplying your finances. You're going to prove Him faithful in helping you get everything done and organizing your thoughts and organizing your time. You're going to prove Him faithful in giving you strength to overcome your personal weaknesses. You're going to have to prove God, and you're going to find Him faithful. You'll love Him all the more. How many Christians say they love God, but when the time comes to prove God, to really trust Him, they fall apart? Instead of going to Him as their anchor when the storm beats on them, they run from Him. They get as far away from God as they can get. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. But instead of doing that, the person of weak faith, the person of maybe just professing faith without possessing faith, that is revealed in the time when you either have to trust God or fall apart. Some of you have had parents who their faith wasn't strong or wasn't real, though it was professed. And in the testing time, they fell apart. Their marriage fell apart. They couldn't trust God. They couldn't go to His Word. God's marriage manual, if you will, for marriages in trouble and for marriages that need to be right. Because God, the author of marriage, has given us here the formula for marriage. But instead of repairing under the Lord, they went to psychologists, or they lean upon their own wisdom, or the wisdom of people who were just as blind and misguided as they were. And everything fell apart, including the marriage, and you were left the victim of all of that. Many of you have aching hearts today because your parents wouldn't stay together. And they were professing Christians. And just when they needed to prove God, when they needed their faith for an anchor, they gave it up. They wouldn't let God be God. And the life was ruined, and your life is experiencing great problems as a result of it. We have an all-sufficient God. And if we can get to it this week, I will be preaching in chapel all this week, and then I will be preaching very little in chapel for a long time. So I've got to get it in here in a hurry because there's so much I want to share with you from the Scripture. During this week, we're going to be talking about our all-sufficient God. We're going to be talking about God's sufficiency in all spiritual problems that we face. We're going to be talking about God's sufficiency to handle our national problems. And God's sufficiency to handle our personal problems. So tomorrow I hope to speak to you from Psalm 73 about God's sufficiency to enable us to handle our spiritual problems, our doubts, the times our feet slip, the times sin overcomes us. We'll be talking about tomorrow from Psalm 73. An all-sufficient God to enable us to stay strong in the midst of spiritual problems and temptations and doubts. He's really able to do that. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Let's stand, please, in reverence and be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we begin a long journey now in this first full week of the school year. It will go so quickly. But it seems long now to many who are new here to this. Lord, today, whatsoever our hands find to do, may we do it with all of our heart as unto you, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5 to Audio Services, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.